I think it all comes down to the lack of enforcement, unfortunately, from the Department of Health, because normally you should just send out a request, and the laws are very clear on that. You should get back the records in 30 days. And that's the end of the story. And I see many law firms still believing in that this is how it happens in real life, but that's not how it happens. You are not getting back the records in 30 days. In most cases, you are not getting back the records ever because they just ignore your request. And they come up with all kind of excuse.
Welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast, featuring the latest strategies and techniques to drive traffic to your website and convert that traffic into clients. Now, here's the founder and CEO of 10 Golden Rules, Jay Berkowitz.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever time you're listening to this podcast, welcome to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing. We have a great guest today, George Bechenier. Hopefully I got that okay, George. And I'll introduce him in just a minute. Their team from Yo Cierge was at our conference last week. I think this podcast is airing the week after 10 Golden Rules Live. So I'm sure they did an amazing job on the presentations. George couldn't be with us, but he's going to tell us all today about a category that's super hot, which is medical records retrieval. And before that, just a couple quick things. We'd love it if you like listening to these podcasts and watching these on YouTube. Please give us a quick like, a follow, a share on whatever platform you're listening to it. The more people that subscribe on YouTube or subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, the more luck we have getting great guests like George today, because people look at our channel, they're like, oh my goodness, there's so many likes, follows, and shares. We do have over 80,000 views on our top YouTube video. So, hey, we're legit. But thank you very much for being here today. And without further ado, George, welcome, and tell us a little bit about your background and get into founding this really hot medical records retrieval company.
Thanks, Jay. Really appreciate to be here. My name is George Bechenier. I'm the founder and CEO of a medical record retrieval company called YoCierge. And we are specialized on working with law firms, typically on the plaintiff side. Most of our clients are personal injury and mass tort clients. We also work with the Department of Justice. So that's typically the type of clients we serve. About myself, I was born in Hungary, lived most of my adult life in Switzerland before moving to the US, so hence the accent, and kind of started YoCierge by chance. I'm a computer programmer by training, worked with many law firms, starting all the way back in Hungary and then in Switzerland and then in the US later on. And for whatever reason, all my friends, or most of my friends, turned out to be lawyers. I'm not sure what's wrong with me, but that's just how it happened. And one of them had a successful personal injury practice in Philadelphia. And his name is Bob Gagin. He was kind of not, I wouldn't say suffering, but he had a lot of issues with record retrieval. They spent an absolute fortune on it, like hundreds of thousands annually on retrieving records. And he asked me to look into it. So they were the first client for YoCierge Inc., and that's how the whole adventure started. Pretty soon, like in 6 months, that was in 2017, we opened up to other clients. We started the first integration with Clio. They were the only company who talked to us at that point because we were an absolute startup with like one client. We built a Clio integration for record retrieval, and then it's been a huge success since then.
Congratulations.
Thank
and I love it when a product's built out of need. As a matter of fact, I think in the startup industry, they always, you know, they always ask that question, like, what need are you solving, right? What problem are you solving? And, but, so this was like for a friend of yours, you're a programmer and he's like, hey, can you fix this problem, right?
Exactly. And I mean, to be absolutely honest with you, before 2017, even though I worked with many law firms, I didn't know that record retrieval existed. Like, if there was an industry for that and there were companies doing it, it was, I had no idea. Coming from Europe, you just don't have this thing, right? And so he kind of introduced me to this whole set of problems. And if you look at the the record retrieval industry, it's huge. It's over a billion dollar market. But by any logic, we shouldn't exist as a company. So that's kind of the interesting part. Like, you shouldn't need OCIG Inc. or any of these great record retrieval companies to get
the record. Why is that?
it's hard to give a simple answer to that. I think it all comes down to the lack of enforcement, unfortunately, from the Department of Health. Because normally you should just send out a request, and the laws are very clear on that. You should get back the records in 30 days. And that's the end of the story. And I see many law firms still believing in that this is how it happens in real life, but that's not how it happens. You are not getting back the records in 30 days.
Yeah.
In most cases, you are not getting back the records ever because they just ignore your request. And they come up with all kinds of excuses. You didn't submit to the right place or using the right method, or something was wrong with the request. It missed a certain clause required under HIPAA. So many of these medical record offices or even the copy service companies, they became the master of rejection. So they figured out how to reject the request because that takes like 2 minutes, while actually finding the request and sending to you is much more work and much more expensive.
So who's better at rejecting your request? The medical companies or the insurance companies?
The insurance companies lately for records, they became super expensive.
No, not for records. I was kidding around because
Okay.
We
do that as well.
We both work with personal injury lawyers, and their job is really to try and squeeze a few funds out of the insurance company.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't want to pay for the car repairs, or they don't want to pay for the injuries. They certainly don't want to pay for the pain and suffering. So I guess it's a part of their business to reject claims. And so you're saying the medical retrieval is just as difficult.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier, lack of enforcement. So technically, none of these should happen. But here we are, and it's happening. Like, I don't know, we deal with probably around a few thousand requests every week, and we run into these issues. And you need to know how to deal with it. You need to know how you submit a request to a certain facility. They make up arbitrary rules, like we only accept certified mailers if you're requesting records, or you have to send it to a certain fax number, or you have to submit to a certain portal. So we have this huge database with like over 7 million providers. And we know how to get the records from certain ones. And there are good ones. So let's not just talk about the bad examples here. We have 24,000 providers, and they are major ones in the US where we can download the records in 30 minutes. We have an API connection to them. We identify the patient in a method they approved for identification, and the records will show up in your case management system in 30 minutes after the authentication is done on the patient. So there are good examples. Unfortunately, most of them are bad, but hey, that's why we are in business.
So what's the 80-20 rule like? What are the 80% of the providers?
80% of the providers are providing the records in 23 days.
I was trying to say, what category are they? Are they hospitals?
Absolutely. So it's hospitals, major health systems with multiple clinics. So they are the big ones. And we are trying to focus on those when we are building out the network for this API connection, getting the records fast, not the smaller ones, obviously.
And so if someone's a solo chiropractor operating on her own, are they on a system? Like, can you do an automated request, or does that have to be a manual?
Most of the times they are not, unfortunately. So that has to be manual. And that's, again, coming back to the lack of enforcement, because under the Cures Act, they should be under a system where we should be able to connect to, but there's like zero enforcement of those rules. But at some point, they have to be. So even the small providers, they have to use a system which is able to connect to so-called patient-facing apps, what we created, and download records from them. Reality is the small, I never came across a small one actually doing that.
Here's one of my personal pet peeves, and I don't know if this falls in the same category.
Okay.
But I think in the same week, a couple years ago, I went to the dentist, and I went to a doctor specialist, and I went to my general practitioner, and I had to fill out the same paperwork all over three different times. And I said, you know, why hasn't someone solved this, that you just, you know, I don't know, put your phone up to a QR code and it has all of your, at least all, you know, your basic information. And then maybe, you know, maybe you approve it, or maybe you eye scan it or whatever. And it like gives them all the basic stuff. And then the whole thing's connected, because God forbid they have to get information from each other. You know, that's going to be another couple of weeks. Is OCR playing in that space at all, or is that a different, because I know Google was trying to do that and other people were, but I still find it just as paperwork intensive every time I go to a medical provider.
Yeah, you touched on a huge topic, and that's something that everybody's discussing currently in the health data space. So it's two issues. One is the consent forms, what you are signing at the doctor's office every time. There is a movement to somehow have a single sign-on where you have all your consent forms and the standardized language. So you, if you sign one, then you don't need to sign another one again. Another doctor can use it with your consent, the same form. Yeah, you're right. Google was involved in that. Many companies tried it, but it's there are just so many players here, and not many wants to play well with the other. But there is an alliance called CARIM, CARIM, exactly working on this, like a single sign-on solution for the patients, and not only for the consent forms, but for the record retrieval as well. So even in our case, if you use one of those 24,000 providers, we can get you the records in a matter of minutes. You have to authenticate yourself with each health system individually, which is kind of painful for the patient. Like, you went to one hospital and the other one, you have to do twice the authentication. Why? There is no solution for a single sign-on. So this alliance is exactly working on that. We are also working with them. And I think we will have products coming out pretty soon this year, where we will not cover like 100% of the market, but even if it's 20-30% with a single sign-on, we can get you your records. That's already a huge win for our clients. It's everybody, when you talk to the players, everybody's telling you this is coming next year or in maximum 2 years, but it's kind of like fusion energy, you know, it's always the next thing, but yeah, it's been the next thing for like, I don't know, 20 years now. So I kind of have this feeling, but it's probably, I should be more optimistic about it. We are getting close to it. Eventually, you will be able to do a selfie of yourself, a photo of your driver's license, and that will be the authentication part, and get your records from any provider. I think that's where everything is heading. That's where all our research and development is heading as well.
Yeah, I did some work. I was advising a bioidentity company. Mm-hmm. The selfie, we actually, I'm still have some shares in the company. We actually own patents about creating basically a video of the face. So the selfie is
right, it's a video.
20 pieces, yep. And then analyze, because your face is more unique than your I guess your like the iris scan has problems. It's harder to do, fingerprint harder to do or easier to fake, or but your face is very unique. Is that consistent with what you heard?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about this, every piece of this puzzle exists as of today. There is a standard laid out to identify patients, what hospitals should accept. It's called the IAL2 standard, which includes making the selfie. It should be a video, like a short one that you described, a photo of the driver's license, back check if the driver's license is a valid one. So, and the hospitals should accept it, that identification. But because, again, it goes back to the lack of enforcement, nobody's really enforcing these rules, not many hospitals accepting that. And everybody's pointing finger to each other, like there are so many players here. But I'm optimistic. It's happening.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We all know it's going to happen, but it might take, you know, 20 years. I remember years ago, I was thinking, you know, my phone should also be a camera, because they're you know, almost the same size. Cameras were getting smaller, and should also be my iPod, or we even had the video cassette players. I knew they were all going to come together. I just wasn't as brilliant as Steve Jobs and Wozniacki to make it happen.
You were too early, right? Like Galileo or something.
By the way, if you're a young person, you have these ideas, you got to be like George and make it happen, right? And solve record retrieval. So talk to me a little bit about who it's for, who uses it, who makes up the majority of your rapidly growing client list.
I think 90% plaintiff attorneys in the personal injury or the mass tort space. We work with, we shouldn't name clients, but we work with the largest two personal injury firms in the country, our clients, names you are very familiar with. And then we have many like small and medium sized ones. We don't really work with solo practitioners. I don't think it makes sense for them to use.
One of the rhymes with organ, organ and organ.
I don't want to get into that, but I cannot deny or confirm if they are a client of ours. Let's stick to that.
You're playing at that level.
Yeah, we absolutely do. So national players, and both in mass tort and personal injury. And that's good because it gives you the volume to build relationships, for example, with the health systems. And also you actually learn how to do it. We deliver around 30,000 records monthly to our clients. So it's a significant number. And our average turnaround time on the non-electric ones is 23 days. So it's we are proud of it. We are very transparent. Everybody telling you like a number, like, I don't know, we get you the records on 15 days or something. What we do instead, we show you on our portal real-time statistics, and you can download the data. Like, this is the order I placed. This is when I get the records, based on the last 6 months of data, and it's transparent, the number is there. So you know exactly our speed. On the electronic health record, the speed is not an issue. You get it in 30 minutes.
That's great. And do you guys take part in the role of tracking down the manual ones as well?
Absolutely. So we do we have a hybrid approach for many reasons. I mean, the main reason, currently we only have 24,000 providers where we can do the electronic one. This number rapidly growing. And I think we will approach like a million next year because of some agreements, what we put in place. So it will be a huge number next year, and we'll keep growing at a very fast pace this year. But even when you get the electronic records, there are certain records not entered into their system. For example, billing records, typically they use a different system, and our clients need that. So we have a hybrid approach where we offer our clients a flat fee where they can combine all these things together. Like your client went to, went to a certain hospital. Okay, we get the medical records in 30 minutes. We get you the billing records in 23 days. We get you the radiology images also typically around, that's getting closer to 30 days. So we get it in a package and we charge a flat fee for that. And it's very easy to budget for our clients. Especially if you do like a high volume, many of our clients doing like thousands of requests monthly. So it's good for them. They just multiply that thousand with our flat fee and they know how much to budget for record retrieval.
And you mentioned that you're integrated with a lot of the case management systems. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the folks that you're integrated with?
So Clio was the first one, like I mentioned, forever grateful for them to take on a company with like two people who had no idea what they were doing. So thanks for that, Jack. And then Fileline, definitely big integration partner, Litify as well, Smart Advocate, and Neos. I think they are the leading ones among our integration partners.
Great.
We have some other ones, some smaller case management softwares, but these five are the major ones. Smallboard, by the way.
Thank you to Filevine and Smart Advocate. They're participating in the 10 Golden Rules.
Great. We love working with them.
Or if you're listening to this after April 26th, they participated in 10
Golden Rules. Right.
But we love those folks and everyone. Likewise. We hang out with at all the legal conferences. That's great. And what's the competitive set? I mean, I got asked the tough question. Like, Dr. Kane Elliott is speaking at our conference, and he's the AI genius, futurist, integrator at Fileline. Yes. And he's building all these AI tools. Like, wouldn't they try to build in the medical retrievals piece themselves? Or is it just so complex to develop those relationships?
You never know, of course, but it's a different thing. I mean, if what they are building into their system is something we actually feed data into. So what they are building is a more like an analytics of the records, what we delivered to them. On the Medicare record part, it's not a pure software product because you have to have all kind of agreements in place with all kind of data sources. So it's not something I expect a software company to deal with, but you never know. We always welcome competition. There are great other record retrieval companies on the field. So I think it's a huge market. We are always happy to see invention in the space.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the things we've found in targeting attorneys is we have a lot of friendly co-opetition.
Exactly.
Folks who do exactly what we do that provide the marketing piece for the attorneys, but there's, you know, 500,000 attorneys, I think, and I'm based in Florida, alone. So, and I think, you know, 450,000 of them say they'll take a personal injury case on their website. So there's a lot of opportunity for us all and lots of great opportunity to work together.
Absolutely. This is how we see it.
Yeah. How involved is it to get started with your product? How does it typically happen? Who makes the introduction and who manages the implementation with you guys?
I mean, pretty much we get clients through word of mouth, like previous clients just recommending us. That's, I would say, like 80% of our new clients recommend came from a referral from an existing client. That's why we are not really good at marketing, something that I mentioned you earlier. So we're actually quite bad at it. But the business is going well because of the referrals. The onboarding process is simple. Depending on what case management software you use, some of them are less involved to integrate with, others are more involved. The ones you can customize heavily, those case management softwares typically taking a bit more time for us to integrate with, but we will make it happen, don't worry about it. But we are talking about a matter of days. So in some cases, it's 2 days, the onboarding process. In other cases, it could be like 7 days. If you have like a highly customized interface we have to work with. We always work with your interface in the case management software. We don't tell you to change it and put in that or delete that field. We try to work with your setup, what you your intake fields and everything. And pretty much all the cases, we can make that happen, even if you have different templates or different type of cases. We just adjust our system for each of your templates and the records. It's a bi-directional integration. So we pull the information from your case management software to get you the records. And once the records arrive, we are pushing it back wherever you want to see it in your system. And it's all automated. Even the expenses of getting your records automatically appearing in your case management system. So when the case settles, it's easy to get reimbursed for all the record retrieval costs.
Fantastic. And who's typically your client? Like you said, someone refers from another firm. I imagine a paralegal is using OCRs.
Correct.
And they change jobs. Yeah. And their first thing is like, oh my God, I'm not going back to the manual record retrieval. We need OCRs. Is that a typical case scenario or am I making
up? Absolutely. Paralegals are like probably 90% of our users. And they just don't want to do, and I totally understand why, being on the phone like 45 minutes with SIACS, one of the big record copy service companies or something like that. It's an absolute waste of time. And they have better things to do. So that's why they pay a small flat fee for us and then we take care of all those.
That's fantastic. What's a couple other things that folks should know about OCRs?
I think we pretty much summarize what we are doing here. We have a lot of add-on or value add services, what we don't charge money for. For example, we put the records in a chronological order. This is done by AI, and it's been pretty accurate, and it's just getting more and more accurate. So we provide every time two versions of the records, the original file from the provider and the chronologically ordered one. We also have an integrated radiology image viewer on our portal because those discs are an absolute pain to work with. If you ever try to look at your own X-ray, you have to install a program and everything. So we built it in a browser and you can just view it on our portal. And now we have a new tendency where certain case management software makers looking into to show our images in their software. So I think a smart advocate will be likely the first one. If you smart advocate, you will see our radiology images, what we extracted from those discs inside smart advocate. I think they are coming out with a new version, but I think others will follow as well. So that's kind of a unique thing. The other thing what we do with AI is to summarize the records. There are firms, and I would include Fiveline as well. They are much more focused on it, and they go in-depth analysis or analytics of the records. We don't do that. So what we do, our AI engine reads the records and giving you like a one paragraph summary what's in it. So the idea is that you come to our portal, we got like 2000 pages from Jefferson Hospital, but you just need to read like one paragraph to decide, is it important or not? Do you want to read it now or rather later? Is it important for your case or not? So it's not really an AI analytics. Yeah, exactly. So it's not an analytics of the records, like an in-depth analysis of it. It's more like a summary, what you expect there. The other unique thing what we do called medical expense table, where we go over the billing records, and currently this is not done by AI, but eventually I think it will be. We go over line by line the billing records and giving you an Excel summary, like this is how much your patient paid for it, what was the CPT code, what treatment was done. So this is crucial when you write your demand letters for the claim adjuster or whoever it goes to. We don't create demand letters. That's, again, you need to use a specialized company, but we provide all the data for that.
Great. Tell us a little bit about George, like where are you located? Tell us about your family.
Sure. I live in Wayne, Pennsylvania. That's where our company is located, just outside of Philadelphia. I have two teenage daughters and getting a lot of gray hair lately, as you can imagine, but they are great. I'm, as I mentioned, I'm a computer programmer by training. I'm a technology guy. I think that's our strength. I think every record retrieval company has certain strengths and weaknesses. Our strength definitely is technology and how we can customize our system to meet your whatever case management system you use or whatever custom needs you have. So that's pretty much what I do all day long.
And what do you do for fun?
I don't like to talk about it because it's kind of silly, but since you asked me point blank, I have a dirt bike and I do like motocrossing.
That's great. That's my hobby. That's where you blow it out after you try to track down 23,000 medical retrieval companies.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was actually in Austin, Texas this weekend, and there was a motocross race. Is that the same kind of stuff?
That's the stuff I like to do.
They go insanely fast, so you're a brave man. I asked this question, and we're both immigrants to this fine country. Do you have an NFL team?
I'm still a European in that regard, so soccer.
Yeah, so who's your team? Sorry. Who's your team?
The Hungarian team, usually.
The Hungarian football team.
Looking for them. If
the How are they looking for the World Cup? Are they on pace to qualify?
Yeah, let's change topic.
Okay, good. Well, look, I'm down here in Miami, so I've become a Messi fan now.
Okay, good.
I watch a lot
of great sport. Not much to be proud of.
It's easy to be a Messi fan. Last few questions, I call these like the short snappers or something. I don't know where I got that from, but I always like to ask people for any of their productivity tips, anything you do for your own personal productivity or the company, or any apps that you use to be more efficient.
That's a good question. I think it's a hard question for a developer because what happens, you typically starts to create your own tool for whatever you like to use for, and that's a tendency we're definitely guilty of at UOCH. So instead of using like third-party tools, we tend to create our own. Eventually it pays off because that's why we can customize our system, because we built everything into it.
Yeah.
But it takes more time instead of using a ready-made tool. But just so I mentioned, still some for you what we didn't really create. I really find Read AI great lately for conferences and web conferences to create the transcripts, because we just have so many calls like this and it's good to go back and you don't need to watch the whole call. You can just search in the transcript text. And the other thing, when it comes to
we're using Fathom AI similar kind of thing. It records the call, has the video, and it has a summary of the call. And so if you want to go to the part about, you know, hey, we talked about Read AI, I could go look it up.
Exactly. It's been a great. And when it comes to Medicare records, one suggestion I always have to clients, even though we provide them the radiology images on the portal, sometimes they want to see exactly the content of the disk, and not to use the one in most cases what was delivered with the disk, but use a tool called MicroDICOM Viewer. It's a free tool, and pretty much all our clients end up using it, and it works with pretty much all the disks. So that's probably a good tip for a paralegal dealing with a lot of radiology disks.
MicroDICOM
is the standard name, DICOM,
yeah.
And the viewer,
MicroDICOM viewer. Yeah, there's so many times like you're trying to open a file and your computer is trying to, hey, do you want to use this or this? And it's great when the experts show us the way through the field, because you know you're always afraid if something's got bugs or it's got hidden.
Exactly, and some of them even give you a virus alert. Some of the viewer softwares they put on. And if you are on Macintosh, typically we suggest a tool called Ozirix. I think it's spelled with S, O-Z-I-R-I-X. And that's, again, a free viewer tool for radiology disk. Because if you are on a Mac, often they only provide a tool for Windows, so you can't really use it.
Fantastic. And our CEO group, the MBA class, audits our meetings. And so we always say, you know, like, what tips do you have for, you know, the young MBA or maybe for a young lawyer or even any lawyer, you know, what's your classic best business books? Is there a couple of go-to business books you recommend to everyone?
I think my all-time favorite is kind of an older one. It's John Huntsman is the writer who owns this huge chemical conglomerate. It's a public listed company, the Huntsmans, and I think his son was the Chinese ambassador of the U.S., so he has a book called Winners Never Cheat. And I think it's just great for anybody starting a business. It just sets you to the right path to do business.
Fantastic.
And he's been hugely successful. So it's definitely a guy to learn from.
Great. And how about blogs, podcasts, YouTubes? Are there any you subscribe to that you never miss when they come in your feed?
So my wife is a foreign policy analyst, so we are hugely political. So all our podcasts are about politics, either in the US or in a more global level. I don't want to pick some because all of them are controversial, I would say.
Yeah, you've got to
I like both sides, kind of like both spectrum. But I think the one, so yeah, let me pick one because we always talk about like which one is probably a fair, balanced one. I'm a huge fan lately of the Free Press in the U.S. If you heard about that, it's a new media. It's I think done by some of the former New York Times stuff, and I think it's very balanced. It's called the Free Press.
Someone's trying to straddle the middle a little bit. Right?
Exactly. So we find them like a good middle field.
Yeah. The problem is like being on a picket fence. You straddle the middle. It's you end up getting poked, right? Great. And last question, where can folks find out about Yossierge or find your personal social media and whatnot?
Sure. So yossierge.com, yossierge.com. There is an easy way to contact with us. And if you can figure out how to spell my name, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm the only one with this name, apparently.
Yeah, well, the links will be in the show notes. So that'll be And by the way, I should have said this off the top. It's Yossierge like concierge. Because people don't know how to pronounce it. I got it right. Thank goodness.
Thanks, Jay.
Great. Well, George, thanks so much for your time and congratulations on your growth. And we look forward to learning more about you all over the next coming months.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the 10 Golden Rules of Internet Marketing for Law Firms podcast. Please send questions and comments to podcast@tengoldenrules.com. That is podcast@tengoldenrules.com.